Here's your fair value brief for Tuesday, July 14, 2026. The 30-second take, Brent crude just jumped to $86.51, up 10% in 2 days, after the U.S. slapped a 20% Strait of Hormuz transit fee on shipping, pushing costs higher. That means gasoline prices are about to climb by the weekend, which could push the Fed to delay those September rate cuts everyone's counting on. Meanwhile, AI's wild spending spree is shifting to profit mode. Meta's now looking to sell off its extra AI compute power, and Micron just pledged $250 billion for U.S. chip plants by 2035. The era of throwing endless cash at AI infrastructure? It might be winding down. And in crypto, Circle's USDC stablecoin just became the first federally chartered crypto bank, while BlackRock's tokenized funds hit $2.9 billion. Stablecoins could soon be in your 401k, whether you even realize it or not. Now to the big story. The world's busiest oil choke point, the Strait of Hormuz, just turned into a toll road with massive economic consequences. Starting today, the U.S. is charging a 20% fee on all commercial ships passing through the strait. For a fully loaded oil tanker carrying 2 million barrels, that's an extra $32 million per trip. And those costs won't just disappear. They'll ripple through supply chains, from refiners to retailers to you at the pump. Oil markets reacted fast. Brent crude climbed 3.9% to $86.51 yesterday, its highest close since early June. West Texas Intermediate hit 80.34. Traders now see 80 as the new floor for Brent until the strait fully reopens, if it does. And shipping traffic? It's already dropped to just 30% of pre-conflict levels. Only 14 commercial vessels passed through Sunday, compared to a pre-war daily average of 130. This fee is the latest escalation in a conflict that's reshaping global trade. The U.S. has launched multiple strikes on Iranian military sites, including an unmanned sea drone attack on an Iranian submarine base, a first. Tehran's firing back by attacking commercial ships and closing its ports, effectively creating a blockade. Shippers now face a brutal choice. Pay the toll or take the 10 to 14-day detour around Africa, adding $1 million or more in fuel costs per voyage. But this isn't just about oil. The strait handles 20% of global oil shipments, sure, but also 19% of liquefied natural gas, a third of all seaborne trade, and critical supplies like diesel, jet fuel, and containerized goods. Rising shipping costs mean higher prices for everything, electronics, grain, you name it. Diesel prices, which farmers and truckers rely on, are already climbing. And container rates for manufactured goods? They've started to tick up too. The Fed's watching closely. Oil prices feed directly into the consumer price index, the inflation measure that guides monetary policy. If today's CPI report shows inflation picking up, and with Brent at 86, that's likely. The Fed may hold off on September's rate cut. That would keep mortgage rates high, credit card APRs elevated, and real savings yields negative. There's no clear end in sight. The U.S. could lift the fee if Iran stands down, but Tehran isn't backing off. War risk insurance premiums for ships heading into the strait have jumped to 5% of a vessel's value, up from 2% last month. Some insurers have stopped offering coverage altogether. The result? A hidden tax on global trade that won't show up on your paycheck but will hit you at the register. Bottom line, the Strait of Hormuz isn't just some distant geopolitical hotspot. It's now a $32 million per tanker toll booth on the world's most vital trade route, and consumers are the ones footing the bill. Here's what's moving markets. Markets are balancing geopolitical shocks and economic realities today, and the shocks are winning. Energy's leading the way. Brent crude surged 3.9% to $86.51 after Washington imposed that 20% Strait of Hormuz transit fee. This isn't symbolic. It's a direct cost on global trade, and energy markets are reacting. Gasoline futures rose, diesel prices climbed, and the S&P 500's energy sector was the only gainer yesterday, up 3.01%. Exxon and Chevron each rose more than 3%, while EOG Resources jumped 4.1%. The message is clear: when crude rallies, energy stocks become the market's safe bet. The broader market told a different story. The S&P 500 fell 0.79%. The Nasdaq dropped 1.88, and the Dow slipped 0.26. The steepest losses came in semiconductors, where the PHLX Semiconductor Index plunged 4.7%, its worst day since March. Marvell led the decline, down 7.8%, followed by ARM at minus 7.5%, Oracle down 6.5%, and Intel off 6.1%. Even Nvidia retreated 3.5% after a strong run. This sell-off isn't just profit-taking, it's a reality check. With Micron and AMD also down sharply, investors are questioning whether AI demand can justify $250 billion in chip factory spending by 2035. Right now, the market's answer is uncertain. Bonds are signaling caution. The 10-year Treasury yield rose 8 basis points to 4.56%, while the 2-year yield climbed to 4.21%. This bear steepening suggests investors are preparing for persistent inflation and prolonged high rates. The Fed's preferred inflation gauge, core CPI, arrives at 8:30 this morning. If it comes in above the 0.2% month-over-month forecast, the central bank may delay September's rate cut or even hint at further tightening. Fed Chair Kevin Warsh testifies before Congress at 10, and traders will parse every word for policy clues. The U.S. dollar's holding near yearly highs at 111.19, pressuring multinational firms and emerging markets. A stronger dollar reduces overseas earnings when converted back and makes dollar-denominated debt more expensive to service. It also weighs on commodities like gold, which fell 0.81% to 4,029, down nearly 7% this month. Even with Middle East tensions escalating, gold hasn't attracted safe haven demand, a sign of weak investor interest in traditional havens. Crypto's staying range-bound. Bitcoin edged up 0.51% to 62,557, while Ethereum gained 0.61% to 1784. Both are mixed for July, but the real development isn't price action, it's regulation. Circle's USDC stablecoin has become the first federally chartered crypto bank, a milestone that could speed up the adoption of tokenized retirement accounts and on-chain treasury securities. BlackRock already holds $2.9 billion in tokenized assets, meaning your 401k may soon include stablecoins, whether you notice or not. Today's economic calendar is packed. Beyond CPI and Warsh's testimony, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup all report second quarter earnings. Banks act as the economy's early warning system. If they report rising loan delinquencies or shrinking net interest margins, it's a sign higher rates are straining borrowers. Investors will also listen to Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey, who speaks at noon. The BOE's caught between stagflation risks and the threat of a housing downturn if it raises rates too aggressively. The takeaway: markets are pricing in a scenario where inflation stays stubborn, geopolitical tensions rise, and the Fed keeps rates higher for longer. That's a headwind for growth stocks, consumers, and homebuyers, but a tailwind for energy producers, defensive sectors, and companies with strong pricing power. Now, the big picture. Markets are sending mixed signals. Energy's rallying, tech struggling, and bonds are betting on stubborn inflation. Crude's leading commodities higher. Brent surged 3.9% to $86.51 after Washington implemented that 20% Strait of Hormuz transit fee. This isn't symbolic. It's a direct cost on global trade, and energy markets are reacting. WTI climbed 2.8% to 80.34, erasing last month's losses. The S&P 500's energy sector was the index's only gainer yesterday, rising 3.01%. Exxon and Chevron each advanced more than 3%, while EOG Resources jumped 4.1%. The message is clear: when oil prices rise, energy stocks become the market's safe harbor. Elsewhere, the picture's less bullish. The S&P 500 fell 0.79%, the NASDAQ dropped 1.88%, and the Dow slipped 0.26%. The pain was sharpest in semiconductors, where the PHLX Semiconductor Index tumbled 4.7%, its worst session since March. Marvell led the decline, down 7.8%, followed by ARM at minus 7.5%, Oracle off 6.5%, and Intel down 6.1%. Even Nvidia gave back 3.5% after recent gains. The pullback reflects growing doubt about whether AI demand can support $250 billion in chip factory investments through 2035. For now, the market's verdict is wait and see. Treasuries are flashing warning signs. The 10-year yield rose 8 basis points to 4.56%, while the 2-year yield climbed to 4.21%. This bear steepening suggests investors expect higher inflation and prolonged tight monetary policy. The spread between 10-year and 2-year yields, now 35 basis points, signals caution. Normally, longer-term yields sit well above short-term rates to compensate investors for tying up capital. When that gap narrows, it indicates investors doubt long-term growth, or they're pricing in higher rates for longer. The U.S. dollar remains near yearly highs at 111.19, creating challenges for exporters and emerging economies. A stronger greenback makes American goods more expensive abroad and dollar-denominated debt harder to service. It also pressures commodities like gold, which declined 0.81% to $4,029, down nearly 7% this month. Even with Middle East tensions flaring, gold hasn't attracted safe haven flows, underscoring weak demand for traditional havens. Digital assets are holding steady. Bitcoin inched up 0.51% to $62,557, while Ethereum gained 0.61% to $1,784. Both are mixed for July, but the real story isn't price action, it's regulatory progress. Circle's USDC stablecoin has become the first federally chartered crypto bank, paving the way for tokenized retirement accounts and blockchain-based treasury securities. BlackRock already manages $2.9 billion in tokenized assets, meaning stablecoins could soon appear in your 401k without explicit opt-in. The CBOE Volatility Index ticked up 0.82% to 17.30. While that's far from panic territory, it suggests complacency is fading. Traders are hedging ahead of today's CPI report and Fed Chair Warsh's testimony. The Fed's policy rate remains at 3.62%, unchanged since December 2025. But the bond market is betting on higher rates for longer. The 10-year TIPS break-even rate, a measure of inflation expectations, sits at 2.26%, up from 2.1% last month. Investors are positioning for persistent price pressures. The corporate bond market is sending conflicting signals too. Investment-grade yields are at multi-year highs, and high-yield spreads are widening. The ICE BofA U.S. High Yield Index option-adjusted spread has expanded to 2.69%, up from 2.5% a month ago. That's a sign investors demand greater compensation for risk, a classic late-cycle warning. Bottom line, the market is pricing in a world where inflation lingers, geopolitical risks intensify, and the Fed maintains restrictive policy for longer. That's a negative for growth stocks, consumers, and housing, but a positive for energy producers, defensive sectors, and companies with strong pricing power. Around the world, the Middle East dominates geopolitical risk today, but the economic fallout is global. The U.S. and Iran are in a high-stakes standoff over the Strait of Hormuz, and the collateral damage is mounting. Washington has reinstated that 20% transit fee on all commercial vessels passing through the strait, adding millions in costs per voyage. Tehran's responded by closing its ports and attacking commercial ships, effectively imposing a blockade. Shipping traffic has plummeted to 30% of normal levels, while war risk insurance premiums for tankers have surged to 5% of a vessel's value, up from 2% last month. Some insurers have stopped underwriting coverage entirely, forcing ships to reroute around Africa, a 10 to 14-day detour adding $1 million or more in fuel costs per trip. The economic impact is already visible. Oil prices are rising, but the bigger concern is diesel and jet fuel, also shipped through the strait. Diesel prices feed into trucking, agriculture, and manufacturing costs, meaning everything from groceries to e-commerce deliveries could get more expensive. The Baltic Dry Index, a gauge of global shipping rates, has climbed 8.4% this week, while rates for very large crude carriers have jumped 11.7%. That amounts to a hidden tax on global trade, one that will soon appear on your bills. The conflict extends beyond oil. The U.S. has conducted multiple airstrikes on Iranian military targets, including a first-of-its-kind unmanned sea drone attack on an Iranian submarine base. Iran has seized commercial vessels and threatened to close the strait indefinitely. The Houthis in Yemen, backed by Tehran, have also joined the fighting, launching attacks on Saudi Arabia in retaliation for airstrikes. The risk? A broader regional war that could draw in Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Israel. The economic stakes are enormous. The Strait handles 20% of global oil, 19% of LNG, and a third of seaborne trade. When shipping costs rise, everything gets more expensive. The Federal Reserve is watching closely. If today's CPI report shows inflation edging higher, as expected, the September rate cut could be postponed. That would keep mortgage rates elevated, credit card APRs high, and real savings yields negative. Elsewhere, China and Russia are deepening ties, but the relationship is increasingly uneven. Moscow, isolated by sanctions and bogged down in Ukraine, has become the junior partner. The ruble is weakening, Russian refineries face Ukrainian drone attacks, and the economy is contracting. Meanwhile, Beijing is expanding its influence, from foie gras production to semiconductor dominance. A Chinese AI startup just unveiled a fully domestic AI chip designed to bypass U.S. export controls. That's a major milestone for China's tech ambitions and a warning sign for American chipmakers. In Europe, the Bank of England faces a no-win situation. Governor Andrew Bailey speaks today, and his message will likely be somber. The UK is grappling with stagflation, sluggish growth coupled with high inflation, and the BOE's options are limited. Raising rates to combat inflation risks crashing the housing market. Keeping rates low allows inflation to remain entrenched. Either way, British households lose. Meanwhile, New York has imposed a one-year moratorium on new data centers, citing grid capacity concerns. That's a setback for AI companies, which rely on data centers to power their models. The ban reflects growing pushback against AI's energy demands, a trend that could spread to other regions. Bottom line, the Middle East remains the immediate crisis, but the economic consequences, higher shipping costs, sticky inflation, and central banks boxed in by conflicting mandates, will be felt worldwide. The winners? Energy producers, defensive stocks, and firms that can pass on costs. The losers? Consumers, tech equities, and anyone counting on lower interest rates. Now, companies in focus. Energy stocks are rallying as the Strait of Hormuz fee takes effect. Exxon rose 4.05%, Chevron gained 3.29%, and EOG Resources climbed 4.11% as Brent crude hit $86.51. Producers benefit, but refiners and consumers face higher costs. Semiconductors extended their declines. Marvel dropped 7.75%, ARM fell 7.55%, and Intel declined 6.12%. Weighing on the sector as investors question whether AI demand justifies $250 billion in chip factory investments by 2035. The PHLX Semiconductor Index dropped 4.7% over 2 days, its worst stretch since March. Salesforce bucked the tech downturn, rising 4.84% after strong cloud software revenue, standing out as most tech stocks declined. The gain positioned Salesforce as a defensive AI play. Meta retreated 1.86% after Monday's 6% surge on plans to monetize excess AI compute power. The pullback reflects profit-taking, but Meta remains up 10.66% for July. Bank stocks traded cautiously ahead of earnings. JP Morgan slipped 0.58%, Bank of America fell 0.28%, and Wells Fargo edged up 0.59%. The focus will be on loan delinquencies and net interest margins, key indicators of whether higher rates are straining borrowers. Adobe gained 3.12% after strong uptake of AI-powered creative tools, contrasting with weaker software peers and highlighting Adobe's pricing power. Tesla's slide continues. The stock fell 3.19%, extending its one-month decline to 3.99%. Pressure stems from rising EV competition and margin compression as price cuts erode profitability. Boeing dropped 3.05% after reporting fresh delays for the 737 MAX and 787 Dreamliner, compounding challenges from supply chain disruptions and regulatory scrutiny following past safety issues. Costco outperformed retail peers, gaining 1.11% as the warehouse club attracts budget-conscious shoppers. Costco's up 5.3% for July. Crypto-related stocks diverged. Coinbase fell 1.07%. While PayPal rose 2.87% after expanding its crypto offerings. The split reflects selective enthusiasm as regulators target higher-risk players. From Washington, the Federal Reserve stands at a critical juncture, and today's CPI report could determine its next move. Fed Chair Kevin Warsh testifies before Congress at 10, with every word under close scrutiny. The challenge? The Fed is divided. Officials like Governor Christopher Waller warn that inflation remains sticky and rates may need to stay high. Others fear over-tightening could push the economy into recession. The result is a central bank that appears indecisive and markets that are increasingly uncertain. The data complicates the picture. Core CPI is forecast to rise 0.2% month over month, matching May's increase. But headline CPI could dip 0.1%, reflecting earlier declines in gasoline prices. The good news? Oil surged 10% in 2 days, and the Strait of Hormuz fee will push fuel costs higher in the coming weeks. If the Fed sees inflation creeping up, it may postpone September's rate cut or even signal additional tightening. The bond market is already positioning for higher rates. The 10-year Treasury yield reached 4.56%, while the 2-year yield climbed to 4.21%. This bear steepening suggests investors expect persistent inflation and prolonged tight policy. The Fed's own projections call for one rate cut this year, but markets now price a 50% chance of a hike instead. The U.S. dollar remains near yearly highs at 111.19, creating headwinds for exporters and emerging economies. A stronger dollar makes American goods more expensive abroad and dollar-denominated debt harder to service. It also pressures commodities like gold, which has fallen 7% this month despite geopolitical tensions. The Fed isn't just fighting inflation, it's also assessing AI risks. The central bank recently launched 2 task forces, one to study AI's threats to financial stability, another to improve how policy affects the real economy. The concern? AI could amplify market volatility, introduce new systemic risks, or disrupt labor markets in unpredictable ways. Meanwhile, Trump-era regulators are tightening lending standards for undocumented immigrants. New guidance encourages banks to assess risks more rigorously when extending credit to borrowers without work authorization. The shift could cut off access for millions and hurt banks that rely on that business. Bottom line, the Fed is boxed in. Inflation is proving stubborn, growth is slowing, and the Middle East crisis adds fresh uncertainty. Today's CPI report could tip the scales toward higher rates or recession risks. Either way, borrowers stand to lose. Now, here's something worth learning today: how your spending drives the economy. The idea that the economy is a circle isn't just a metaphor. It's how money actually flows. Every time you spend money, you're not just buying a product or service, you're creating income for someone else. Example, you fill your gas tank for $50. That money doesn't vanish. Instead, it becomes revenue for the gas station, which pays employees, orders more fuel, and covers rent. The landlord spends that rent on groceries, repairs, or savings. The workers spend their wages on housing, food, or entertainment. That single $50 transaction ripples through the economy, touching dozens of lives. When you cut back, say, by driving less, you're not just saving money, you're reducing someone else's income. This is why recessions feed on themselves. Less spending leads to lower income, which leads to even less spending. The impact grows from there. Your $50 at the gas station sets off a chain reaction. The station pays $30 to the refinery. The refinery pays $20 to the oil producer. The producer pays $10 to the trucking company. Economists call this the multiplier effect. $1 spent can generate several dollars of economic activity as it circulates. But the reverse is also true. If the Strait of Hormuz fee adds 50 cents per gallon at the pump, that's $50 million per day redirected from consumers to oil companies, shippers, and insurers. The money isn't gone, it's just concentrated in fewer hands. Greater inequality slows growth because money circulates less when it flows upward. Not all spending turns into someone else's income. Some money leaks out of the cycle: savings, taxes, and imports. Right now, the Strait of Hormuz fee acts like a massive leakage. That $32 million per tanker isn't just an added cost. It's a redistribution from consumers and businesses to the U.S. government and energy firms. That money will circulate differently and likely less efficiently than if it had stayed in consumers' pockets. Today's CPI report isn't just a number. It measures how fast money is moving through the economy. If inflation is rising, spending is outpacing production, and the Fed may raise rates to slow the circle. If inflation is falling, money isn't circulating enough, and the Fed may cut rates to speed it up. The Strait of Hormuz fee is a real-time case study in disrupting this flow. When shipping costs rise, businesses pass those costs on to consumers. When oil prices jump, gas stations increase pump prices. And when your paycheck doesn't keep up, you spend less, which means someone else earns less. Tomorrow's question to consider: if core CPI comes in above the 0.2% forecast, which way does the 2-year Treasury yield move, and why? Now, here's what to watch this week. Today at 8:30, we get U.S. core CPI for June. The forecast is 0.2% month over month. A hotter print could delay the Fed's September rate cut, keeping borrowing costs elevated. Also at 8:30, U.S. CPI year over year for June. The forecast is 3.8%, down from 4.2% last month. A decline would ease pressure on the Fed, but the Strait of Hormuz fee may keep inflation supported. At 10, Fed Chair Warsh testifies before Congress. Markets will scrutinize his remarks for clues on rate hikes versus cuts. All day, bank earnings from J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, and Goldman Sachs. Watch for signs of rising loan defaults, a signal higher rates are straining borrowers. Wednesday at 8:30, U.S. core PPI for June. The forecast is 0.4% month over month. High producer prices could feed into consumer inflation later. At 9:45, the Bank of Canada's rate decision. The BOC may hold rates as it balances inflation and a cooling housing market. At 10, Fed Chair Warsh testifies again, day two of potential volatility. Thursday at 2 a.m., UK GDP for May. The forecast is 0% month over month. The UK is skirting stagflation, weak growth plus high inflation. That's it for today. See you tomorrow.